Hello and welcome back to the Let's Backflip Show Happy Hour. See what I did there? I'm just workshopping a new intro. I'm Ryan Fring, co-creative director here at Backflip and Lord of the Podcast. And today, this is a fun one. We're talking Backflip to the Future, behind the scene. So this is really fun. We discuss what went into our Christmas video 2 years ago. How do we put Emily into the Carol of the Backflips? How do we have so many maxes at the end? We go into these questions. There's a lot of special effects. Let me just give that away. That we can't duplicate people and we can't put people back in time, but we make it look like we can. So this is a really fun Christmas video. This is an example of us really just exploring and trying out new things in filmmaking. And that's one of the reasons that we do these videos. So this is a fun behind the scenes. If you are listening, you will probably get some out of it, but you definitely want to check out the video from the show notes or on the blog down below. You're going to get a lot more out of it if you can kind of see how we break that stuff down. So take a look at that. That's what we got for today. Please do like, subscribe, leave a review if you'd be so kind. Without further ado, this is episode 49, Backflip to the Future, Behind the Scenes. Hello and welcome back to the Let's Backflip Show. That's not the intro I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do it again. Hello and welcome back to another Backflip Happy Hour, which is kind of like our Let's Backflip Show podcast. I'm Ryan Fring, a creative director here at Backflip. And joining me, as always, we've got John, the cobbler shoemaker. Say hey, John.
Hello. Hi, I'm Ryan Fring, and this is the Let's Backflip Show.
That's why live is so great.
Wait, no.
I hope everyone loves live. Actually, I hope everyone saw our live video yesterday. That was pretty great. That was John's whole idea, and he perpetrated it. I just happened to film it. But I think it turned out great. There was that one moment where Scott was a little afraid that there was smoke, but then he saw that there was smoke being poured into his room. So he laughed. So that was a lot of fun. You should check that out. It's probably down below. But that's not why we're here. We're here to drink and talk about behind the scenes. So let's introduce our other two guests who are with us today. They're with us every day, but this time they're actually on the old Happy Hour Let's Backflip Show cast again. So down below, we got Jeff, our main editor, I don't know, lead editor, whatever. And
hi,
Andrew, down to the other editor. How's it going, guys?
It's going great. And we're totally not in the same room.
I also cannot totally hear you at all.
Nope. You mean through the wall, right?
Through the wall, exactly. Like it normally is.
In case anyone wants to know, Ryan is right through this wall.
In this wall right here. This is how I sometimes know when things are going wrong. I'll hear Jeff screaming through the wall or through the ceiling, which is so much fun. And Andrew's right there as well.
Screaming at me.
You'll never guess which wall I'm in.
Yeah, we actually got a mezzanine, so we put John up there in the in the string room.
That's where all the guitars go to.
Yeah. All right. So, what are you guys drinking today? I'll go last this time. Let's start we'll start with Andrew. And there's never any pressure to drink for anyone watching or playing, but we definitely do encourage it.
This one's called Carbon 4 Outer Space. It's in the style of one of my favorite childhood movies, Space Jam. Very clearly, I used to rent that movie every time I go to the Little Chute, Wisconsin library with my mom.
Did you pick that because you love Space Jam or because it looked amazing?
No, it's an IPA. I like IPAs a lot.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one. Jeff, what do you got?
I am drinking Fantasy Factory because I like cats.
And hops. Another IPA from Carbon 4. So, John, you better keep up this repping. Are we mad repping?
Oh, boy. This is, it's not Carbon 4. I don't know what kind of repping is happening today. So, I told you about this. It's called All Out from Athletic Brewing Company. It contains less than 0.5% alcohol by volume.
Yeah, buddy.
Ooh, you're going for the high stuff today, huh?
It's an extra dark. I've tried the extra dark. It's pretty good. It's a little thin, like, tasting. But there's an IPA that I have over there, too. Maybe I'll break that out later. And it's really good. It's like, mind-blowing. It's a non-alcoholic IPA. I wanted to try these two because, like, I really like having something to drink in the evening. But, you know, some evenings you're just like, I don't know if I want another beer or some alcohol or something. So, anyway, I wanted to try them, and it's kind of fun. I mean, it's in the realm of trying out any of the craft things.
Does it taste like terrible? That's the main question.
So that's what I was saying. The IPA is...
I lost you there for a second.
The IPA is fantastic.
Okay.
It's alarming. You're like, what am I getting from the other?
Yeah, that's great. I was thinking about dry January, but it's mostly just like mostly dry. Just reducing some of my drinking in the evenings, and I'll drink a ton of Clarb, a ton of sparkling water. So I guess that gets us to me. I am drinking Chuhi. This is a super hard seltzer from Carbon 4, because you ain't bleep if you ain't reppin', yo. So this one, I think, has
John, I'm sorry you're going to have to leave the live stream since you're the only one not drinking a Carbon 4 beverage.
I think someday they'll have an NA, so a non-alcoholic.
So yeah, totally work. I'm just drinking it because I wanted to try it. Here's the other thing. I'm going on a retreat this weekend in Green Lake, which I think is owned by Baptists, and they don't allow any alcohol there. Maybe I could bring this. We'll see.
They're like, how much is in there? Zero?
It's closer to zero than five.
I think you still do have to be 21 to buy NAs because of the whatever, 0.1% or very little percent.
Carbon 4 really should make an NA, but it needs to be spelled out. It needs to be ENAYE.
Yes.
Their non-alcoholic beverage is NA.
NA. Zach and Ryan, if you're watching, we got to make that. That'd be awesome.
I don't know why that made me think of Forrest Gump. Jen A.
N-A. Oh my gosh. That'd be so good.
Could a beer, like a beer bottle sitting on the park bench a la the Forrest Gump poster?
Yes. Oh my gosh. We just designed it.
Yeah. This is all
they come up N-A.
Start working on this.
Oh, that's so good. All right. Well, beer is not why we're here, but it's certainly one of the reasons that we come together. So if you are drinking something at home, share with us. Because I've got this new system, I can post stuff down below like that. This is Jeff. Woohoo! Can't wait to talk VFX. Well, at some point, we're going to get there. But yeah, that's a cool new system that I'm using. So please do post, and we can bring you up and answer your questions live. This should be super interactive. We're super stoked because we spend so much time, and there's been so much ideation going into our Christmas video, Backflip to the Future. And if you haven't seen it yet, oh my gosh, check it out. It's down below. It's all around. It's on our website. We advertised it for like 3 weeks straight. So
some will say it's our best Christmas video yet, written superbly.
I will say it's our best Christmas video yet.
I will not say it's written superbly.
Written well.
Well,
take that for what you want. it's certainly my favorite right now.
Fine.
Nice. This is a nice piece. But it's fantastic. It's apocalyptic. It's got time travel. It's got special effects. It's got all of our old Christmas videos. It's got us kind of like as future selves. So, let's maybe give a little preamble of how we do Christmas videos and how we came to this one. So we'll start with John. How do we work on our Christmas videos? Like, what do we do? How do we come up with these ideas and all that jazz?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, a lot of times there's inspiration that comes at some point during the year when we're just riffing on some goofy idea in the hallway or maybe in the doorway of the edit suite or, you know, wherever it might be. You know, and a lot of them are just kind of come from maybe inside jokes or just stupid things we thought were funny. And then we try to make it accessible to our audience. A lot of our audience know us pretty well, so we can actually, they're in on some of those inside jokes. Some years the concept just kind of gets floated out there and somebody jumps on it and volunteers to write it or put it together. Other years, like this year, we actually had a pretty organized process and we pulled the whole company into the conference room, sat down, pitched our brainstorm ideas, and then we kind of got into pairs or teams, and we each took a shot at making, kind of writing up a treatment of that concept, kind of got together for another meeting and pitched them to each other, and then we chose the one that we liked. So that was pretty fun to do it that way this year.
Yeah. There was lots of just diverse ideas too. And I think this is the first time that Hannah and Emily got to participate in the ideation. So, and you may see these in the future. We had Rube Goldberg machine, which we're like, there's no way we can pull it off in the time frame. We had, Lifetime, Christmas special style, which after filming all this, we're like, maybe that would have been a lot easier.
I actually have watched a lot of Lifetime Hallmark Christmas movies this holiday season.
Oh, nice.
And I realized halfway through editing of this one, like, oh, we can make a really good Hallmark Lifetime movie now.
That would be so much fun, honestly. And like John was saying too, it kind of goes like, if somebody has an idea, they can run with it and then it kind of becomes theirs. Like last year, I've been wanting to do the singing one, and Nintendo kind of came up and, you know, that just worked out. So last year was one that was kind of near and dear to me. Jeff has kind of helped write or led writing several of them. I don't know if one of those is special to you, Jeff, maybe The Office or
the Backflip Alone one.
Oh, Backflip Alone. Yeah. Yeah.
Will always be my personal favorite. Cause Max and I just ran with that. I still need to find the original script, but I'm pretty positive that was originally a 35-page script before we like went, okay, that's everything. Let's tame this down a bit.
Yeah. That's how it kind of always is too. I think this one, what was this one? Like 18?
I think the first draft came in at like 19 and a half pages. And then the draft that we ended up going with was like 17 and a half, 18 pages.
And how long was it? Was it that long or was it like 13 minutes?
It's what it ended up being, Andrew. It's like,
I think I have it
14 and a half minutes.
Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah, I think 14. that also speaks to, you know, just the level of description and then the witty quickness of the dialogue, because it's not slow dialogue.
Right. And I mean, yeah, in the script, if you look at the script, there's a lot of description, and it's only because I had it in my head as to what this needed to look like or what it should look like and how it was going to work with older content, older footage. So a lot of it was me describing how exactly it's going to, or like where it's going to work or what we're actually seeing and those bits. And I kind of always knew like, it's going to go by fast. It's going to play faster than you read it, but still I'm happy that we knocked off like a solid 4 pages just by the pacing of it.
Yeah. And this one was especially fun because I think there were several ideas that kind of got pulled together. And two of them were apocalypse, post-apocalypse, which is maybe my favorite genre. So I was super stoked about that. Like from the first one we've done, I've always wanted to do something post-apocalyptic. And then time travel, which got in like the VFX, which made it really, really fun. And
which is always something that I love. I love time travel to death. And I will always make time travel stuff. I don't care.
I think we also do try to be pretty topical. So like this year, I guess it's a little dark humor, but you know, the apocalyptic, sort of theme just the way that everything has just been kind of colliding this year. And then the idea that we'd have to go back and try to fix things, you know, but in previous years, although the medley was borrowed from a few years prior, one of the ideas was there was some like Nintendo Switch related stuff. There was like a Super Bowl idea that we were talking about. When we did the musical, it was kind of just a random idea, but it was also like off of like, it wasn't that long after Hamilton,
yeah,
you know, was the Hamilton craze
and something like fun that. We wanted to do and had the talent for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then this one came together, and then Jeff, I know you and Andrew kind of took off and ideated some. And then with that process, essentially you wrote a script and then came back and you, me and John sat down and kind of reviewed. And that was an interesting process too, because maybe we could post this too, like your original script and then the script we finished with, like mm-hmm. underneath the video, because there was fun things that came out. Like when we're looking at things and things are confusing, like no one will ever know that there's an additional timeline that you had created where the villains, you and Max from Home Alone or Backflip Alone, actually stole all of our equipment. And that was potentially the timeline that we were in. So like right. super crazy stuff. That's awesome.
I basically need to draw out what these timelines are, because there is like three alternate timelines that are interskewing and like where things connect to what. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to post this real quick too, because this is working. Let's see. Oh no, there it is. So Hannah in our office is working on commenting. So thank you, Hannah. Comments are working. Everything's good. Okay. So the script meeting, that was so much fun, because there were so many things like that where you write in such a connected way that we had so many questions. And one of the things that came out of that discussion was the confluence of Max's, because I think there was two scenes that you run into Max and one scene later that Max came to the future. And yep. I was confused and I was like, okay, so now we have all these Maxes in here, and you're like, wait, no, we only brought one back. And then all of us, we were like, oh, what if? And like that moment was so unique and so special, because you had written it in a way that got us thinking, got us just being creative. And then there was that moment of, you know, kind of discovery, like, oh, this would be hilarious.
Yeah. And it changed the entire ending. Like the last two pages of the script got changed. Mm-hmm. Because originally it was supposed to be that you brought the troll back with you as well. So the troll was going to be there. And then one of the Maxes was there. And then it was like, well, we don't need the other troll. And the idea of having three Maxes just seemed like, well, oh, duh, so good. Of course, yeah. That's how the ending needs to be.
Yeah, it just made sense in so many different ways, which is great, because I think that's why when you see these very simple films that are Academy Award winners, I'm trying to think of the one. What's Jennifer Lawrence and
Was that Winter's Bone, or is that not the
no, right no, one? No, no, no. It's the nice one where they're both dealing with. They're both dealing with. I don't remember much of it, but I remember watching it. They're both dealing with
Silver
Linings.
Was it Silver Linings?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're both dealing with some mental issues, and you know, it's just super sweet, and it's like a moment in life, and it's very simple. And you're like, well, these are simple, you know, why would I think something has to be overly complicated? Right. And even though we do things in a very complex manner, when we hit on those ideas, it's like, well, this makes sense and is a good idea, you know? And I think that's what can really resonate with people. Yeah, no one wanted to jump in. That's fine.
There was nothing I could join with that.
So Andrew, we haven't gotten much from you yet. What was this experience like for you? And then after that, we'll actually jump into kind of a breakdown that Jeff created, and we'll watch through that.
I was excited from the get-go. I was assigned one of those other pitches. Basically, it was How the COVID Stole Christmas. We wanted to be pretty... The name kind of stuck, but the concept didn't. And the whole time I was rooting for this time travel video in the first place.
I don't think anyone liked the how the COVID stole Christmas.
No, I love
it. I am partially, I was one half of the people who came up with that. So I'm well aware.
No, I 100% love that idea. And I thought the rhyming could have been so on point and so memorable. So let's do it next week.
And then, I mean, a secondary effect to really getting behind this time travel video is I knew it would kind of require some cool VFX and be a lot of fun to edit and bring in old footage from other Christmas videos. So I was super pumped for this to come through. And I think one, I am listed as like a story contribution. I think the one idea I pitched was bringing, and we'll see it when we play back the video. Hopefully people watching have seen the main video already. But it was bringing Max from the conference room and trying to explain how Max got into our musical video, because I think it's hilarious how he's not
mentioned. Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. That's maybe one of my favorite parts in the whole thing is that.
And like, you know, we should explain how Max just randomly shows up in this video, and he must have time traveled from another time, and that's why he's there. That's the one thing that I'm very proud of for sneaking into the script, and I'm glad people enjoyed that a lot.
I will say this. He is not giving himself nearly enough credit, because I write well by myself. I can write well, but I write the best when I bounce ideas off of other people. Mm-hmm. And I can sit and I'll just sit and I'll write these ideas out, and then I'll get to a point where I'm like, I don't, like, should this happen, or this doesn't make sense, or what about this and how does this feel? And Andrew bounced more ideas off of him while writing the script than I usually do. The only other person I bounced that many ideas off of is Max when mm-hmm. I write with him. And he kept having so many good opinions and thoughts and ideas and moments and jokes. And it even went into the editing process. We were still doing it while editing, mm-hmm. like little tweaks of timing and changing, like, well, what if we had this there? Or what if we did this little moment? Or let's add the sound of the bell gonging when Hannah disappears, which is just a funny little extra side gag. Oh,
it's so great. Yeah. It's so subtle too.
Yeah. So that's why he got at least a story credit on that. Like that's without saying.
Yeah. And jumping on that, like, I remember just hearing you guys joking and laughing and talking, and then you guys would be like, oh, we had this great thought in this, you know. And so I think you're being extremely modest, Andrew, in your contributions to the story.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
but, you know, it was so much, Jeff, you know, if you're bouncing ideas, it was like a game of racquetball and I was that wall.
Hard, rigid, and not very flexible.
Exactly.
So let's see. I'm going to flip over to this now.
This is the three screens. So what we did is because there were so many visual references and callbacks and like little like connections to our previous videos, we thought it'd be a really great idea to put into a single video. In the upper left-hand corner as you're watching it, that is going to be every time there's a movie reference, every time we're lifting something, every time we reuse footage from the original Christmas videos, like that's going to be what that box is. That section will show you exactly what we're referencing. The upper right hand corner of the screen is going to be the edit of the Christmas video, but without any of the special effects. So it has no color, no no reframing, no cropping, no green screen removal, no nothing, because we realized while editing it that, not to toot our own horn, but some of the visual effects are done so well that there's some moments where you don't realize it's a green screen. And we wanted to make sure people could see, like, yeah, that's a green screen. That's a green screen. That's a visual effect shot. And then the middle bottom will just be the final piece as we released. So it might seem like it's a lot going on all at once, but it's not really. It's kind of just a fun thing to bounce your eye between to see how much what the references are and how much has changed from rough to final.
Right. And I was just informed by one of our friends, I don't know, Emily. Thank you, Emily, for that, that I was muted, but that's okay because you explained the whole thing. And also before, I just gave mad props to Andrew for all the conversations that they had
Because we didn't need to hear any of that. It's fine.
No, it's good. It's great. They would constantly be talking about script and story, and then they'd come back to us and I'd be like, hey, we had some thoughts and ideas, and it was awesome. So he deserves a lot of credit for that too. Okay. I don't know that you guys, Jeff, John, and Andrew will hear anything. I don't know that the people at home will hear anything, but that's not important because we'll be talking over this the whole time. So Jeff gave you the breakdown there. Let's go ahead and get started here. Let's see if this plays. Yeah, I love too that you're so nerdy that we make the opening sequence like exactly the same. So good.
You gotta. I mean, I'm a huge Back to the Future nerd, so you gotta nail that.
So that's cool. Looking at the raw edit and the final edit, how much color is actually on there? Because, you know, that initial scene, I mean, it looks pretty great as shot. And then you guys add some lens blur and stuff into that or some lens flare.
All right. Yeah. So for a very early color pass of this, I was messing around with a lot of lens reflections through that are built in through DaVinci Resolve. And it became a little bit too much as you kind of go on through the video. So I just kind of wanted to have that happen during the first couple shots, and kind of disappear. It kind of gives just kind of like this epic anamorphic kind of feel to it. If you scrub back even just a little bit right before that door opens, you're going to see, I believe it's like some light diffractions even that were added in post. To that door opening, and it's actually, I thought that was kind of a nice little touch that you don't see in the original, but it only happens for like that half a second when the door first opens. If you're right there, you see the little hexagons kind of off the corners there. Really subtle stuff, but I didn't want that to play through the whole film. I just thought it was kind of neat to see. Early on there, and then there's just a little bit of a creative look there, but it's not too in your face for this beginning shot, because I think on a camera it just looks really cool by itself.
Well, and this is kind of a happy accident too, because the look of it, you know, we're definitely going for something over the top, apocalyptic action movie, you know, anamorphic Michael Bay lens flare and stuff. But then Jeff, when he was putting it together, was like, hey, look at this in Back to the Future. The first shot, he's opening a garage door. And then he's like looking at this, like, you know, pretty, whatever, pretty amazing looking truck. And I was like, oh, we've got this garage door opening. And then there's this like, Jeep adventure truck in the background. So there was like a tie-in that was sort of just accidentally there.
I love that too, because this year during the summer we watched all three Back to the Futures on our garage, which was fantastic. And I mentioned it to you, Jeff, because I know you're a fan, and just talked about it and pros and cons and things like that. So I was super stoked when you came up with that
idea. Just a little bit of a fan. Just, you know, I only have like an original movie poster from 1984 when the movie came out. And, you know, just 85, sorry. You know, just original animation cells from the TV show that was in the early 90s. Yeah, not a huge fan.
Yeah, right. So I'll keep playing here too. John, I did not see your types, your Skype chats. I heard them, but if I flip to it, I think it will come up on screen.
Gotcha. Yeah, right.
If you Slack it to me, I have it up on the other screen. So, okay, this is just great. Like, that's amazing. We purchased a font, but I love it. It's so good.
I tried. There's a bunch of free fonts on the internet for the Back to the Future font, and I tried using a bunch of the free ones, and I'm like, you know what? Because of the nitpicky stickler in me, I'm like, I can't. I like, there's this one. It's not the 100% screen accurate one, but it's the best one that's out there. And I'm like, it's going to make it look the best. And so it's like, yes, there we go. And then I spent the time to actually do the design mock-up and the little light sheen that happens on it and the beveled edges. And it's not perfect. The spacing between the top line and the bottom line is a little off, and it's not as curved as that one. But it's It's good. It's good enough.
And the title. The title is just, come on.
We debated about changing it to make it be a Mad Max style opening graphic, because it kind of did feel like maybe that's what it should be, but we couldn't get Backflip, because Backflip is in every single one of our Christmas video titles. It's always something Backflip thing. It's always that. And when we're just like, no, it has to be, and we even debated changing the title, but it's like, it has to be Backflip to the Future. Like, it just has to. That would be such a missed opportunity for a Christmas video about time travel to not be called Backflip to the Future.
All right. There is no audio for those who are watching. There's no audio for me either. I have it turned off over here because we're going to be talking over the whole time. If you do want the audio, you got to look down below. Okay, let's go back to show and tell. There we go. All right, now you should be able to see this. Before, these guys were not able to see it. There's so many moving parts here. I think my computer is going to blow up, but it's great. They should be able to see where we are in the video now as well as I play this. And when this whole room just catches on fire, it'll be great. This was such fun scene, by the way.
Yeah. Interesting to shoot. I mean, I know that was all you guys, but just the specificities, that's not a word, but how the amount of detail that had to go into, like, well, where's the camera setting? What do we actually shoot? What's the angle? Because it's a giant circle that I think we only ever cut on the other side of the circle when it's you, Ryan.
Yes. Yeah.
You and Luke.
Yep. And that was great because John and I have, you know, different ideas and different ways of doing things we directed. And this is one where we just argued until we figured out, okay, how do we solve it? And the resolution was, let's just own it and flip the whole 180. And it totally works in this regard because we stay on the 180 on one side, so you can kind of see where everyone is, you understand. And then when it goes to me and or Luke, I think, which I don't remember if he's here later, but it just works because we can flip that side. And this is another great joke. You should talk briefly about this, Jeff.
Okay, so starting in It's a Wonderful Backflip, which was our second Backflip Christmas video that I was a part of after the Carol of the Bells one. It's the one where we're all sitting in the conference room and we're like throwing out ideas for what the Christmas video is going to be. Max and I wrote the first draft of that script. And we at one point, we were going to make a Medea reference, or a Medea, like a Medea's Family Christmas, or, you know, whatever, like there's the Tyler Perry character that he's got like 1,200 movies of. That was like John was going to say, like, it was Medea's Family Christmas is like his favorite Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think enough people, this is my idiot brain, I don't think enough people know who that is or may not get it. I'm like, let's do Jingle All the Way and let's make it be Sinbad. Because in my head, I went, no one's going to know who Medea is, but let's reference a 90s era comic that hasn't done anything in almost a decade and a half.
Yeah.
So that was the first gag. And the following year when we did Backflip Alone, because we had referenced Jingle All the Way, when we're writing the scene about Grouchy Pete, Max and I were like, well, what if Grouchy Pete got mad because somebody taped over his only copy of Jingle All the Way? So this started this for no other reason than just we find it funny. It started this ongoing gag that every Christmas video we have a reference to either Jingle All the Way or Sinbad in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no other reason behind it than just we thought it'd be funny.
And did you mention the Mandela effect?
Did no. You say that? So okay. When we got to this year, so the Mandela effect, for anybody who doesn't know, that's the, which I feel like a lot of people do, but it's this effect where there's a lot of stuff that a lot of people remember being different as a kid, stuff like Curious George had a tail. Or the Monopoly Man, the Mr. Moneybanks had a monocle.
Or Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain, not the Berenstain.
Yeah.
And it's all these little things that people are like, they will swear up and down, like, no, it was this.
Absolutely.
And then when you actually look at it, you're like, oh no, it's never been that.
Yeah.
The monocle was actually Mr. Peanut. Curious George never had a tail. It's always been Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's this whole, you can get into like the side, like the deep, dark reasoning behind it. It's all supposed to be like, it's a glitch in the matrix, or there's alternate timelines that are all merging and whatever. But one of the other big ones was in the 90s. And actually my fiance swears by this too. In the 90s, there was a movie starring Sinbad called Shazam, where it was about a magical genie. Now, there's a 90s movie starring Shaq called Kazam.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
That came out. But people swear there was one that starred Sinbad.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, you know, and there's articles. You look it up online. You look up Sinbad Shazam movie and you'll find it. But there's all these articles about it that actually existed. And that fed into the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things when I started writing this script, the first thing I thought of after the original opening scene was that Andrew, or actually I think the original script, it was Ryan that did it, but it was Ryan that you did it. You handed it to Andrew and he gave it back to me. But I'm like, because we need to establish we're an alternate timeline, the best way to do it is to have something that obviously doesn't exist in our timeline, but doesn't that one.
Mm-hmm.
So Andrew, and this also works twofold because it also, you get my Sinbad reference in, Andrew hands me back my copy. Of course, it has to be my Blu-ray copy of Shazam. Oh, yeah. Hold on. So I forgot. So I made the prop, which is I made a Blu-ray case. There's actually a back to it with a whole bunch of text on it as well. That might be a little blurry, but I actually made a full Blu-ray copy of the faux movie Shazam, which does, if you look, it does use the Kazam poster. If you look it up, that's actually Shaq's body with Sinbad's head on.
That's okay.
But like I drew the logo by hand to get the other letters into it. And yeah, so basically that's the prop that that Andrew holds me or hands me. But it's a subtle little tiny little nod to be like, we're in a different timeline. And here's Sinbad.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm hoping that maybe in like another 5 years of doing these videos, Sinbad will actually be in one of them. And oh, that'll man. Be the end all be all.
Yeah. I'm sure he's out there.
I don't think he does anything. The video that we're using in as the reference was what, like 2 years ago, the website College Humor made a video that was like supposedly like, hey, we found a clip from the movie. And they actually got Sinbad to like film this like little mini scene. So that's from a few years ago, but they made it look like somebody taped it off of TV on a VHS tape. Like they put fake commercials and there's hiccups. And yeah, I love that video. So I'm like, of course I have to use that just to continue to perpetuate this lie that Shazam actually existed.
Yeah.
Sinbad, if you're watching, next year,
please.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue on here. I'm just gonna be delayed in my video because I'm running so many different things. That's fun. You can see the boom in that one shot. The color is great too. Talk a little bit about the color. I know Andrew, you had a lot of opinion on that.
So cropping gets rid of like a lot of boom. You're gonna see a lot of boom in this, first of all. The color correction, I tried doing something and fans myself, but you know, in the end, Magic Bullet looks stole the show. It was click and drag sort of ordeal that worked perfectly with our footage. And the preset was called Nerds in Space. That was used for all post-apocalyptic shots. There's more color for other areas of the film, but for this section, it was primarily just that Magic looks, and then a little vignette on top of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the broadcast has been paused, Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back.
My computer's like screaming to a halt with all this stuff that's going on.
It's getting interrupted. External camera.
Yeah, I can try that. Let's see. Here, you guys say something really.
Maybe.
full it looks. We haven't used too much of it, actually. A lot of the presets are super like extreme, and I know you can dial it back. You can there's a range from 0 to 100, which you can put it on. I think during this video, just crank it all the way up to 100, more or less. Just to really sell that super extreme post-apocalyptic sci-fi look.
We'll talk about how you edit it and you should resolve.
Go ahead. We
were just thinking like the fact that I wanted Andrew to talk about the fact that he's this entire video, except for the handful of VFX shots, was edited entirely inside of Resolve, because we've kind of moved over to
true.
Using DaVinci Resolve for everything.
You use all the VFX stuff.
Yeah. We have used Premiere since the beginning of time, and I think in the last 4 months or so, we kind of made the shift to DaVinci Resolve, and pretty much, yeah, all the coloring is the thing that sold it, at least for me, using Lumetri within Premiere. It's a little difficult at times, especially to do secondary color correction, and we'll get to that later. I changed the color of Max's shirt, and that's something that would have been really difficult in Premiere, but Resolve has made everything super easy. The biggest learning curve was using Fusion for any kind of VFX work, and a lot of the VFX work is still done in After Effects. That's just because, well, Jeff is really great in After Effects and could really get those time travel effects done in the time frame that we had to make this Christmas video. But there is something a little later that I'll show you with Fusion, which is built into DaVinci Resolve for our Rat King Scott shot. That'll be really fun to see. But editing in Resolve, I mean, you can change any hotkeys you want. They make it a lot easier because you can just kind of grab an intersection of a clip and it'll give you three options. You don't have to press any hotkeys at all. But we really like using it, and I think we're almost fully transitioned over to it. There's only a few times we'll use Premiere After Effects we'll use a lot, but Premiere, pretty rarely we'll have to go back to that.
Yeah.
The one thing just to keep in mind is that the timeline for post on this video was about a week and a half from the start of editing to rendering off the final pass of the video and having it out was a week and a half. There was 27 visual effect shots, which was done. Like, that's all I did. Andrew was cranking away at editing the entire video, and I spent that week, that 1 week before Christmas, just working on visual effect shots and the titles and like clean up whatever. But otherwise, it's the entire thing. This 15-minute video was done in a week and a half with 2 days of filming.
Yeah. It is quite impressive. Now, it wasn't accidental. We knew we had that timeline in front of us, and part of what helped obviously was all the work ahead of time preparing things. You know, the fact that you had everything like outlined and figured out, okay, I need this type of shot so I can stitch it into this background plate, you know, things like that. That made it really, it made it great for shooting, so that there was only one spot where we ran into a lot of confusion while shooting because we hadn't really planned how to handle the one VFX shot. But all the other ones were just like, here's what we need to do. Lighting goes there. We got to match this thing, you know.
Yeah, that was the one thing about this particular script that I think that's probably the most I don't want to say pre-vis stuff, but like preliminary work I've ever done, any kind of a script or short film where I, while writing it, had an idea about like, well, where could this person show up in this scene? And it would be great if we could get them in this bit. Okay, well, can we do it? So like I went back to the original footage and I looked through it and I tested stuff out and I found ways to make it work. And then I wrote the script around using those ideas. So then that way I'm like, no, like John said, like I knew things were going to work if it was filmed like this. And it's insane. Like I've never done that. And now I kind of just always want to do that. And I guess that's what like kind of location scouting could be to some degree, but I also feel like that's stuff that you tend to do based on the script, not write a script based on the location.
Well, but I think, so this is, you know, it's a little bit of a tangent, but since we're vamping anyway, I think it's kind of the way that you can achieve something really amazing with a small scale indie production. You have to go in a little different order, or you have to balance a few other things into your writing. So like I would often do that, you know, like write based on a location or based on somebody that I knew was going to be in the thing, or maybe some costume they had or some goofy prop they had, or maybe a track of music that I had that I knew would work really well. Because when you don't have an unlimited or a huge budget and a massive crew of people behind you, you don't always have the luxury of just writing anything that you can imagine and then be like, great, I wrote this script just like all, you know, full creative license. And then you start looking at the logistics of it and saying, we can't do any of this. We can't pull this off. Not in this timeline or, you know.
And that's how I used to write scripts back in high school and into my early days of college. And then I started getting too out there with stuff and being like, let's just write something for whatever. We'll make it work. We'll find a way to make it work. But yeah, my first feature length script that we only got 40 minutes of it filmed and is on YouTube. Find it. That one was, we had a farm location and it's like, we're going to film at this farm location. What can we do here? And I kind of forgot how to write and how to structure a film that way that actually got done, you know? So like, this was fun for me because it very much so was kind of a going back to how I used to do things, but I definitely didn't, cause I knew we were going to have a time, a time crunch. I definitely did not want to write something that was going to be impossible for us to achieve, because as I've said, I'm nitpicky, and if it's not perfect, I don't want to do it. Mm. And you know, I wanted to make sure that this was going to be perfect in my eyes. And yeah, there's one or two little things here and there that I wish I could do different, but it's solid, and I think it turned out very, very well, and hopefully it made filming easier on you guys.
So you're going to say it's perfect? Is that what I'm hearing?
It's 98% perfect.
I am back. You guys can't see me. Hopefully you can still hear us. So John, keep monitoring that. This is the joy of live. What ended up happening is all the things that I'm running on this one computer ended up taking up too much memory. Tons of CPU, but too much memory apparently. And I think when I was recording, I ran out of hard disk space. So that was a part of it. I turned it all off, deleted stuff. And I think you should be able to see on Skype, you should be able to see my video over here. So we'll get going on that. We'll crank a little bit. Obviously, the troll stuff is fantastic.
Yep. Troll comes in like Quantum Leap, because that's an
established thing. So Facebook can see you, Ryan.
Yeah. What? Okay.
Facebook can see you.
Yes, I should be back. You guys won't. You'll just see the video. Gotcha. I think that'll help with my rendering over here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this is live, folks. So please do comment below. And Joe Fulton, thank you for your feedback. I saw that and I was trying to fix things. We missed the Terminator scene, but that was awesome. It was so similar. Like, I can scrub too. A little, but when he comes in, that is so awesome.
Also, I had Luke figured out the cardboard box that he's carrying. Like, that was an accident, right?
Yeah, we didn't realize. We knew Cyborg Luke. That's all in the script. It was literally Cyborg Luke whose right arm is made, is like covered in electronics and has a red glowing eye, I think is all that I wrote in the script. And I'm like, because I wanted Luke to figure out his costume. And he ended up coming up with what basically looks like the Terminator. And the cardboard box was a happy accident. And they're like, oh yeah, it's totally the first time you really see the Terminator with John in T2. And I was like, oh, awesome. What a happy coincidence.
Let's see. I'll keep going.
Time travel devices. That's a pretty fun little invention that Jeff and Luke threw together.
It is no joke. This right here, I have it right because I keep all the props. This right here is a coupler for a vacuum hose. this gray part right here is the hood of a camera lens, like an old like DV camera lens. These are just wires from a computer part, a computer cable that we had one of 1,000 laying around. This metal piece is, I don't even remember what it's from, but it was some sort of disc from some old hardware computer, not computer part, but from like some tool or something that Luke had. And then on top of it is just an LED light that happened to fit perfectly in this little hole inside this metal plate. So, oh, and then to top it off, that is this top part is actually just a reusable plastic wine cup. And everything kind of fit like it was meant to be put together. And we're like, this is perfect because now you can hold on to this and you can press the button to turn the LED light on is underneath here. You can press it with your thumb and the entire thing lights up. And it was just such a little, Luke and I spent maybe like a half hour just going through boxes of spare parts. And that's what we came up with. And it's such a cool little light. Cause then you have something practical, mm-hmm. like hitting the actor. And Luke built 6 of these, I think, and only 2 of them actually turn on. Yeah. And this is the original one that we built, and this is the hero prop. So it's every time you see a person holding it in a close-up, it's this one. Every time it's in a shot like this wide, I think maybe I'm holding the hero one, and then everybody else is holding like the kind of chintzy cardboard mock-ups.
Yeah, I think these are things people don't always think about. Ryan, I don't know if you heard it, but while you were scrambling, getting yourself set back up, we were talking about indie film production and just how, you know, it requires more creativity, but you can still pull off really cool things. Mm. How would you do it on a major movie set? They would just build one for every single person that worked well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have limitations, and so you got to work a little bit harder, but it's like put the hero one in the shot each time he's handing it to the individual people. And, you know, it turns out because you're assembling the world from just shots. If you can keep track of all the details,
I guarantee that's how it's going in Hollywood as well. You know, they're like, oh, we got to go fast. We got budget and we can only spend a little bit on this and only one works and the other 3 do not. And so we have to pretend like there's 6, but you only have 4 and only one of them works and it's going to fall apart when you shoot it. Cause that's definitely what happened for us here. Let's see.
But it totally didn't fall apart like 12 times. There's totally not outtakes of people actually in John's shot. I fixed it falling apart in his hand. That's one of the visual effects shots later on.
Oh, really? Those are the best too, because people have no idea about them.
Yeah, when he leaves from his scene, from his traveling back in time, spoilers, it breaks in his hand, so I fixed it so it didn't break. We'll talk about that later. This scene you have to talk about. This one's all Andrew, wherever Andrew is amazing. In comparison to me.
Down below.
Yeah, I was very passionate about working on the, what we like to quote, the Rat King Scott shot.
real quick, for the record, the script solely said we reveal Scott sitting on a mountain of skulls, on a throne on top of a mountain of skulls and bones. Mm-hmm. That's all I wrote.
And you nailed it. And I can actually show like an original concept I had. This is before I like actually paid attention to the script. But I was
so glad the other editor or the editor behind this was like, I'm not going to pay attention to this script. Yeah,
I was coming up with some concepts and working on my, like, I suppose you could call the wide shot a matte painting. I can share that screen if you want.
Go for it. That was funny too. Cause like when you did come up with that concept, I was like, oh, that's different. Maybe they talked about something else. So
is this the sewer?
All right, here we go.
All right. Can you all see my screen
here? In just a second. There we go. We can see it now.
So, this is kind of what you're seeing here is a node structure in, this is DaVinci Resolve, and this is down in the Fusion tab. This is where all of the VFX work is done. I kind of taught myself this pretty quickly. I was really excited to do the shot, so I'm like, I'll figure it out. Basically, everything you see in this final composition here is this last node. This is the media out node. I won't give you like a huge crash course here. And I don't even know if this is the right way to do it. I'm gonna be honest with you. But each of these little branches coming down is a new addition into this comp over here. And they have to go into a merge node.
If that's the wrong way to do it, I don't want to be right.
Sure. but you can see each of these is a new component. So this is the sky moving in the background. Since here's Scott, as we recorded him on our camera, and you know, after doing all these effects, getting rid of the green screen, just drawing a mask around him, and adding different color effects and blurs to him, we finally got him to look like that in the actual shot. There's other elements like these flames you see back here, little embers in the foreground. Light rays coming up through the top with, we put this on like a screen overlay, and then a little bit of camera shake at the end to just kind of make the effect feel a little more real, like there's an actual person there with the camera recording this shot versus a static image kind of helps. The real way you would do this, though, is kind of by putting everything in a 3D plane, ideally. And if you had like this camera move kind of like a dolly forward, you'd get that extra parallax to make it seem extra real. But with the time frame that we had and the fact that I had no idea how to do any of this, this is what we came up with at the end. And it everyone seems really happy with that. I've gotten great feedback. I'm really happy with it as well.
So this is one of those moments where the video in the upper left-hand corner that's playing is the exact lines that I am saying. It's a lot of these lines, or a bunch of these little lines, are lifted directly from movies, specifically the time travel rules.
Yeah, that was great. That was one of our discussions too about content. Like, this is confusing, and I think that's why we got rid of the two characters stealing our equipment, because then we're like, wait, are we in a different timeline? And we have to explain that this is a different timeline as opposed to just like 15 minutes from now,
right?
Or 15 days or whatever it was.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Even up to the final, like the final editing, like one of the last days of editing, we realized we're like, when does this actually take place? Because there was a lot of debate. Like, is this, should we specify it's an alternate timeline? Should we specify that? We at one point joked that this was January of 2021, so it was only a month later from when it was going out. Or, you know, lots of little things like that. And we ended up just being like, it's December 15th, 2020. December 15th is a date that I used to use all the time in my high school shorts and stories. But that it's just an alternate timeline, you know, questions. So
yeah, just our future.
Just our future of some kind of world here. So,
well, and the idea too, part in the script was like the comedy of like, it's, you know, shortly into the future, if you watch it on Christmas, is a little in the past, but like, this is how 2020 ended.
Yep.
It's become the apocalypse.
Yeah. And everyone just kind of goes, yep, okay, sounds about right. Checks out. To quote Ryan later in the video.
Yeah, checks out. Yeah. I just, that's one of my favorite improv kind of lines, like, oh, checks out when somebody says something ridiculous.
Right.
This is probably one of the coolest special effects here coming up. And I think we'll probably have that broken down.
Yeah. So this one right here, I'll pause it so you can see this. This was the first test that I did while writing the script. And basically, I looked for the footage. In the final edit, what you're seeing is the first 10 frames of the Carol of the Backflips video. Mm-hmm. We do not have the raw footage from this day of shooting anymore. It got lost years ago. So I had to use the actual opening scene because I knew I wanted to put Emily in the background of this. This entire shot. Hilarious.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. This entire shot is handheld, which you'll see at the end of after she leaves, after she time travels out. It's all handheld, but right after the first 10 frames, John walks on and then Julia comes on and then you come on, Ryan. So there's like nothing to go off of. There's nothing we can use. So I took the first 10 frames and it's me breathing in because I'm sleeping, because that is me from 2014. I'm sleeping, so I'm breathing in, and I was able to stabilize the shot so there was no camera shake, and then I was able to loop me breathing in and breathing out to look like I'm just breathing in and breathing out while I'm sleeping. And then in the upper right-hand corner, you can see what we actually filmed of Emily, which was basically they just hung the black curtains, which might very well be the same curtains that are actually in that scene.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. We've never gotten rid of them.
Never got rid of them. Hey, look, they came in handy 6 years later. filmed her with a static shot. And then I was able to go through and basically mask out around all the microphones, the lights that are hanging in front of the curtain, around the tree branches, around the presents. And I put Emily into that space because in the original footage, it's just a blank empty space. There's nothing there. Actually, I think if I back up a little bit. Yeah. So in the upper right hand corner, that's the original shot.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing back there. So that's why the idea was like, we can put a tree back there. We can put Emily back there. That'd be perfect. And then adding like a faux camera shake to that wide that then just plays into the actual take, or the actual beginning of the original short.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked so well, almost too well, actually.
Yeah, I know. Everyone was pretty amazed at that.
I think the general feedback was people asking, like, did we recreate that?
Right, yeah, totally.
And then another one of those where, because our foyer is so different than it, like looking nowadays than it did 4 years ago when we filmed this, like we had to green screen Andrew into a shot from the actual opening or from the original video, just so that way it would blend well.
Yeah. That's one too, that people probably don't notice, that all the walls are completely different in that previous shot.
And then this was a little last minute effect that we, or a decision we made. That I never got into the original Backflip Alone video. There's a spot for it, but I never did the effect for it. So while we were editing it, I turned to Andrew and I'm like, dude, we have to put the sparkle in your tooth then. And it's from this moment in Home Alone.
I acted in that moment, like almost anticipating a tooth like glimmer there, but like I had no idea that the original Home Alone actually featured a tooth glimmer until Jeff said it did.
And oh yeah, so cheesy.
It worked. So
it shows up twice. And that's how Kevin knows that Mar or Harry is not a good guy.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
So am I not a good guy?
You're not a good guy.
You're just a crazy person. You have a crazy idea.
You're a crazy person who says easy peasy lemon juice.
Totally not out of character.
Yeah, so you can see original footage was used there for all that, which is fantastic, but it ties so well to this, the recreation, which, yeah, so the raw edit, you see we exactly recreated what was there. I mean, okay, almost exactly. you can see, because that's not green screen. That's just a practical effect.
Because we realized we could shoot the floor and that looks the same. And we still have the coffee table.
Yep. And magazines. And
magazines.
Maybe the rug. I don't know if the rug's behind Andrew, but there's the rug peeking out behind Phil there, which is fun.
Yep. This whole concept of Max's character in the original Backflip Alone wanting to always go to pretending he was Santa Claus if he was ever caught.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helped the ending. what helped her write the original ending?
This stuff is all fun too, because, funny. I forgot that shot on the top left.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's 100% awesome.
It's like it's in the kitchen. The camera's kind of hiding behind the bush like it is at the start of the scene, too.
Well, and we hid behind the bush in a different capacity the other way. But this also, too, this is at the end of the day, and Jordan had to leave. Jordan, our wonderful cinematographer and good friend. And so I was shooting this, and I was like, okay, I kind of watched some of how we previously did, and I was like, let's go. No lighting, no anything. We just went, and I'm very happy how well it matches.
You could easily cut this scene into the Backflip Office video, and it would seem like, I mean, except for the fact that who is this lady time traveling? But I think stylistically, it fit perfect into it.
There is a hidden cut that was just a couple of frames ago.
We'll back it up here.
You'll see it when we hit that frame. Probably something that...
right there.
Yep.
Right here.
Oh, nice. I can, even looking at it, it's hard to tell.
It happens so quick.
That's amazing. And then this line, you pay the pizza guy. So if you back up a little too, I'm in full apocalyptic makeup. So we had to try to figure out how to shoot this so that you didn't see my face. So the idea was like, John goes first, and then I'll follow, and I'll just turn my face away.
Well, I think you and John were both still in your makeup, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Because the script was originally that she got to the doorway but had to duck into the bathroom to get out of the way from you guys, because we were going to see you come towards camera, but you're both in your makeup still, so it's like, well, I guess we show your backs.
Well, and I think we still had to film. John and I still had to film some stuff, and for him it was mostly just a little bit of dirt, so he cleaned his off, mm-hmm. but mine was like the whole black upper half of my face. So I was like, well, I kind of don't want to do that. So that's how we hit that, and that was fun. And the line, pay the pizza guy, because I don't think we ever resolved that he got paid.
Because the only thing you guys got him was this hat, which is what he says the moment that John says, I don't know, just give him a hat or something.
Yeah,
that's so right, that's right. It explains away the fact that, like, you guys had that conversation in the original Backflip Office video that's like, we still haven't paid him. Just give him a hat. I don't know. We don't have that money. Like,
that's so good.
And it'd be funny to know like how long the pizza guy stuck around Backflip.
And then this is a totally fake bell. So you cut the bell out from a previous shot in the older video, put it on there.
Put it on there, gave it a little bit of a sway, and then there's a faux camera move the entire shot, or just like a little bit of a handheld take.
And then we gave Hannah a little place to touch there, which was great. That really played well.
This one's fun.
It's also fun to see like us in different years, you know, year to year.
Yeah. This is one of those fun shots that I love how well it turned out, because the wall behind me in the new stuff nowadays is blue. It's a dark blue wall. It's not white like it was back in the day. I was in that scene. I don't remember this, but they put up a white, like, it must have been like a bounce board or something like that. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, we put up a big white card. That's right.
So then that way the wall is white. It's the continuity is that it's still white. Yeah. We didn't have to paint the wall. And it totally looks right.
The masterful Jordan post. So yeah, I think there's white there as well.
Yeah.
But just getting those streaks of light again, we actually rented a pretty big HMI, a big daylight balance light to do that. So, you know, we were kind of thinking ahead, but that just matches so well. And this is hilarious. Send me back and forth.
And then just to reiterate that I'm still there. Yeah. And that's actually an unused take. That was an unused take of me.
Yep.
On the original scene.
Just to add it in. Grab that old footage. Something to note here is we couldn't get the exact same shirt for Max. So to keep that color consistent, secondary color correction was done to his shirt to match it with the original footage.
So that's the original shirt that Max is wearing, which, okay, so backstory to this video, Max was not available, I think, in the morning when we shot the rest of the conference room scene. Mm-hmm. So the wide shot of us all at the table here, that is not Max sitting at the head of the table with his elbows out. I believe it's Maddie, who worked here at the time, one of our interns. And I think that sweatshirt, I believe at the end of the day, I think it was Grant. I think it was Grant's sweatshirt. So we borrowed it for the day, but it went away. We don't have it anymore. It's been years since we filmed this. So, of course, we had to have Max, he's wearing a green sweater there. We had to have him be wearing something green. So I think we spent like 3 days trying to track down the proper green shirt. And it's not completely the same, but it's close enough that you don't realize that it's different.
Yeah, it's so awesome. We were trying to get one in stock, but it wouldn't arrive in time. So we just kind of like, if people notice that, we lose. But you guys color corrected it, and I even forgot about it, which is fantastic.
It's all Andrew and his fantastic color correcting skills.
And this is great. There's more dialogue here. There's the line about, and they, you know, the guys who stole our stuff. But that got cut out, and it just, I feel like it almost energized a little bit more because you get maybe more to the time travel, and then you guys time travel a little bit faster.
Yes. Yeah, this was like the second scene that I had thought of in my head when I started writing this, being like, Max has to travel. Like, I go back to this scene and Max travels back with me. He comes with me to another time just to add that extra level of comedy. Cause I also, everyone traveling back in time needs to have their own thing. I didn't want it to be all the same. Like, you travel back in time, you avoid a person, you get an item, you travel out. Like, I didn't want it to be the same thing for everybody.
Yeah. Also, this is the genius. Pause it real quick. This is that Andrew mentioned earlier, contributing, explaining why the heck Max actually shows up in here. And it's so great. This little scene back here. And then Max, he has like two shirts on here and his shirt's half off. Go ahead and play that real quick. But we shot it so that it's like, take the shirt half off so you can just rip it off, which is awesome. And then he comes in. What are you doing here?
Because in the upper left-hand corner, if you see right now, that's from the original video. That is the first time you see Max in the first 10 minutes of this video. He's just randomly there. And of course, we had to figure out the continuity of, well, he's wearing a green shirt in another scene, and he has to be wearing a plaid button-down in the next one. Yeah. So it's like, he's just wearing it underneath. He's wearing a lot of layers, I guess.
It makes sense. Yeah, it totally plays. I love it.
And luckily, we still had the Phantom of the, or Hamilton of the Opera costume, that, except for the fact that I have very long hair and a very long beard, is fairly... it's fairly accurate and spot, seamless of a cut. Never time traveling again. Nope. Oh, wait, we lost Ryan there for a split second.
I'm here.
You're back now. This is another one of those moments where Ryan just yelled through the wall. And
my computer's back, but apparently not the video, so I got to fix that. Okay. Proceed.
Now, this one was a fun one. The very first Backflip Christmas video at the old studio. It's fun because John's new stuff on the right, obviously, so the set that you're seeing, the castle walls that you're seeing in the old footage, we don't have access to those anymore. Those are long gone. But so like the stuff that you see John behind on the right is just kind of a mock-up to kind of invoke a set like vibe. And it looks pretty dang accurate, actually.
Like, I mean, it probably wasn't that dissimilar from what we actually had on the day or whatever, or for those PK things. But yeah, this is great. And we realized we had that green screen there already. Right. So
we could easily just put John in. The only thing I didn't do was I didn't redo the visual effect out the window that you guys did on the original video.
Sure.
Because in my head, I'm like, well, that was a visual effect shot. So yeah, technically it wouldn't be there. Like, this is the one time that I kind of bent my own logic.
No, it totally makes sense.
It actually makes a lot of sense that it would still be a green screen, I think.
But because John, and we don't have the old set, John had to be filmed entirely in front of a green screen. So luckily I was able to get a still frame of the set, because you guys all walked off camera for at least like 5 frames. Mm-hmm. So I was able to grab a background plate and then comp old John into the scene again from another take.
This was great too, because you had just mentioned like, oh, there's a scene where John, we walk on and you look over and you look back and it's awkward and it's wonderful. And so you were able to write that in because you knew that content was there.
I'm like, it would be so great. Like, but I love that old John apparently is just like, oh, well, we seem to be wearing different outfits, but okay.
Yeah.
Like that.
Whatever.
Yeah. This is nothing out of the ordinary to him.
Checks out. Joe Blog. This is the Joe Blog.
So for anybody who doesn't know, because obviously this is falling outside of the realm of backflip, kind of. Yeah. In 2015, for an entire year, or 2014 for an entire year.
On the troll, yeah.
In 2014, for an entire year, I did a web series with our friend TC. I basically every week we wrote. Sometimes some weeks it was just me, but otherwise we would write an episode, and then I would film it and puppeteer. I puppeteer and do the voice of the troll, I'd film it. I would puppeteer it. I would edit it, and I would release it all in a week. And that's amazing. I did this for 6 months for 12 episodes. And then, less than 6 months, maybe like 4 months for 12 episodes. And cause I skipped a week or two and then took a break and then came back to film 3 more episodes. And then the show kind of fizzled out. In the upper left-hand corner, a Troll Blade Christmas. Oh, and also almost the entire thing was filmed in the bedroom of the house that I lived in at the time. So what you're seeing is my bedroom in the background. And the troll has lived on and we've done other stuff. And he's from a feature length movie that I also puppeteered and did the voice for.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a Troll Blade Christmas was one of my favorite things I ever put together. It was like a 15 minute short film, an episode that was all about the troll kind of meeting up with other characters from the puppet movie and me in the upper left hand corner, about 45 pounds heavier. but this location we actually no longer have access to.
Yeah, this is a good shot.
It's long gone. So, but luckily from the raw footage, I had a frame where there was, or like a couple frames where there was nothing in it, but the candle in the background is flickering and moving around. So I was able to create a background plate that looped of the candle flickering, so there's some movement. And then we filmed the troll in front of a green screen, and you guys did an amazing job at kind of emulating the light that was just naturally in my room at the time. Because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to lighting. So this is totally just like a happy accident.
That key, that chroma key is really good too. Was that DaVinci or was that After Effects?
That was, this is DaVinci, isn't it? I believe that was all DaVinci. Or did I end up doing that in After? Did I do that one in After Effects?
Yeah, because you got all the fluffy parts and stuff, and it looks great. Like I'm not seeing any, overglow or anything.
The green screen keying in Resolve is fantastic. Mm. You can get a really great key. That can get those like fuzzy edges and you can't really notice it. I mean, if you look in the troll right now, like around the ball on his Santa hat and just the fuzz all around it, like it looks solid. You can't tell that.
That's really good.
On the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the only thing we weren't able to do was like get the same door, obviously, mm-hmm. but if you've never seen the original special that this is from, you don't really know. It right. doesn't matter.
And that's the same room that you and Max were in before you teleported out, but it's in a different angle. So I think it plays really, really well.
Yeah. And for those of you who do know the Troll Blog or the Troll Blave, depending on how you want to call it, this whole scene with the troll in the new video takes place right before the start of the Christmas episode that we were showing a reference to in the upper left-hand corner a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Because I thought of the timeline for when things happen. you have to do that. That's how my head works.
Yeah, it's in a Wikipedia yep. online.
there'll be a 5-part article that I'll write for the Backflip blog that'll break down every time.
That's awesome. Yeah, obviously you dropped the time machine blueprints. So pause it real quick. That was a super fun one too, because it was like, you know, there's a couple different versions of how we figure this out. But then again, I think maybe in that brainstorming session, we were like, okay, it'd be really great if, you know, Luke built off the blueprints, but how does Troll get the blueprints? Well, let's leave the blueprints with Troll, yep. you know, create that loop of like, oh crap, this is like a closed circuit. Yep. How did they actually get it? Or how does this work? And we never explain it really, which is fantastic.
In the back of my head, I like to think that there is some connection. At the end of the scene, the troll goes to get his time travel device, which is how he showed up in the beginning. And like, we could just leave it simplified to the fact that, yeah, it is just a complete closed circuit. It just keeps looping around. But
yeah.
there obviously has to be at some point in time that those blueprints came from somebody and went back into an alternate timeline that the troll got. And then he brought them back. And then you brought them to the troll. And that's how it kept going. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's fine. It's for episode one.
Yeah.
And Aaron Williams is on. He says, oh, this part's live. Yes, we are back. It got screwed up. There was a not live part, and then my computer exploded, and then we switched over to Jeff's computer, and now we're back. So thanks for sticking with it.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, please do post questions. Jeff, if you if you see chat on the right side, you can click on Aaron's message. It'll pop up. So there it is. Yay. Oh, that's part five. We are live.
We are live. I'll keep that.
So just keep an eye on that.
Keep an eye on that. I'm gonna scale my window down a little bit. Hopefully that doesn't only messes with it a little bit, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. Still trying to figure this out. Oh, I can do that. There we go. Now I can see the chat on the side there. So
nice.
And I'll hide that so that doesn't stick up the entire time. Oh, this is a snazzy piece of software.
It is. It's really nice.
Real quick in the upper left-hand corner there, just trying to get in as many time travel references as possible. So the troll's reading off the blueprints. There's like rules to it, and it's like to avoid the quantum realm.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be from the Avengers. They talked about it the most recently. Must travel with a hologram named Al. Which is from the TV show Quantum Leap, which is about a man traveling through time to fix wrongs. So that's a scene from that movie or show. And then to avoid the Morlocks, which is from the Time Machine, H.G. Wells book, the 60s movie, which is what this is from. And then there was one from the early 2000s with the guy who did the voice of Scar from The Lion King, Jeremy Irons.
Nailed it.
Yep.
the other thing too, I forgot to mention when I saw that Avengers clip, is I think the original script was Jeff traveling through, and what we often try to do is make it an ensemble. So that was maybe my biggest contribution was like Avengers. Everyone yep. goes and gets something different, and I think that was written expertly into your script.
And I did intend on. Obviously, I did intend on trying to make it be an ensemble, but to get the general concept down, because I think it was more for my initial pitch, but my pitch idea is hard to just pitch. I have to write the script. I just got to write it.
Yeah. So, write for what you know.
Yeah, just put me in it. And I don't like being that much of a center of attention, despite the fact that I'm the one that says we need to time travel. The troll is in it. I have one of the longer scenes. Like despite all that, I don't like being the center of attention for stuff like this acting. It happened like that.
It's you are a great, great actor though, Jeff. Good work. I wouldn't mind seeing you in a full length, feature length, leading role.
Oh my goodness. I think my fiance would question that ability. So, all right, we'll get through these here. La la la. Avoid the Morlocks. This seems important. Stanley, where's my time travel / Scottish screwdriver device? And that's a little clip from a time in the Troll Blog, a completely different episode, mm-hmm. where the troll travels through time. And it's to note that when we all travel through time, because our devices are different, our time traveling effect is different. But because the troll doesn't use one of our devices, he has...
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah, because his has this, but ours don't have maybe the shooting lights out of us.
Correct. So it's that was done very much so on purpose.
Ah, that's fun. I just was like, oh, we must have run out of time to get the sparks in ours.
Yeah, his is the quantum leap time traveling, the travel through time effect.
Nice.
Whenever he travels through time, it's that effect. But then ours is completely different. So that's when he showed up in the original. Obviously, the effect has gotten a little better since I did it 5 years ago.
That's awesome.
But my After Effects skills have improved a little.
And all the compositing is so subtle and great. I think that's what makes it work and sells everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, back to...
These cuts are so Avengers as well. You know.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. The text on screen, because we wanted to make sure that people knew where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are we at? What video are we at? We're like, we have to do some sort of title. And Andrew and I came up with the idea that it should just be like the Avengers movies, which is just this big in-your-face text mm-hmm. on screen. So like, I found the font that we used, because of course I did.
Oh, nice.
And we figured, we were like, it's the deer and the name of the video. And then Andrew did the whole sound design mix. So it has like a nice, like foam, like a hit sound. So you don't miss it.
Yeah. It's subtle, but it works so well.
It was important to get those dates and like the videos in there, because if you're someone like my dad who went to go see Endgame without seeing the previous Avengers, you know, it's important to know what things you're traveling into, what time period is this, just to hopefully help out people who aren't as familiar with our old Christmas videos.
Mm-hmm. To be inclusive. Aw. That's one of my favorite lines too. Does anyone else taste metal in their mouth? That's Hannah's line. And she just keeps going with it. I love those jokes that are just kind of sprinkled in that no one else, like none of the characters pay attention to, but it's more of an audience kind of gag, which is really fun. Oh no, I can't hear you. You're totally muted.
Ha ha. I'm a mute button.
There you are. I can hear you through the wall, but I couldn't hear you through here.
Yeah. Those gags where it's like there's a really good chance that Hannah is dying right now and no one's caring. Like that's not the joke to me, but the I find stuff like that funny. I find lines like that and Andrew's like, how can you tell if your heart's inside out? Because I definitely feel like my heart is inside out. Like, which just plays on the whole, there's been some references like time travel can mess with you. And like, that's been in shorts and movies and stuff that you don't come back the same. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, maybe Andrew's heart's inside out now. I don't know. And your, and your look, Ryan, to that is just priceless. Just like I don't know. There was talk on the day that my costume made me look like an Ewok.
Yes.
Or Nine from Nine.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, number Nine.
Yeah. Or the mole guy from Atlantis that was going around.
Yes, the mole guy. What was his name? I thought Andrew, I thought you knew his name. Somebody called it out and everyone
Sam was like,
oh my gosh, that's it.
It was Sam.
Yeah.
Sam knew his name. It's it's fresh. Molière.
Basically, it's Mr. Paul. Yeah. The drone.
Oh, you know what? I actually filmed a lot with that camera during that scene. We should put that up sometime too.
Yeah, I found that while looking through some of the cards. Hold on. I'll show this from
from Aaron.
And just to show what he's up to, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh man, that would have been a great reference if Grouchy
Yes.
is still shoveling our sidewalk.
That would have been great. Just right here on the edge, he's like still shoveling. Oh, we missed out on an opportunity there.
Oh, that would have been great. That would have been so great. Oh man. Well, okay, you know what then? If I was to ever like put this in context, well, it is in continuity in my head. The continuity is that Grouchy Pete does still shovel the sidewalk for us.
Yes. Absolutely. He's apocalypse proof.
Oh yeah, he probably looks exactly the same.
There was another boom and then the bell sound, which is fantastic. Just subtle. It's those cues in filmmaking where it doesn't make sense in the actual piece, but to the viewer, it just helps communicate more story.
Yep. There was one of the final VFX sequences. If we had time, was that I was going to add the bell hanging. Like if we go back to this wide, hanging in the background, kind of above upper camera
up to the left. Yeah.
To the left. Like, it was going to be back there, but to do it, it would also have to be partially seen in every single time you see Hannah and Emily talk. And that would have added like another 7 or 8 shots.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it would have had to been behind Luke, and there was like a lot of little technical things that needed to be done. And it was just like, you know what? If I have time, we'll do it. But we unfortunately didn't really have time to do it. So I'm just like let's add the bell sound back there, and like we'll just leave it at that, and no one's gonna question it. So get into this.
I had the best thing ever. Christmas cheer. I still taste the metal in my mouth.
I got Santa.
And Max basically hasn't changed.
Nope. This is great. This was the extent of what my original ending was just that Max was going to show up.
Right, right.
And then it was during all of the trio writing review that you guys came up with the idea that it's got to be the other Maxes. And I'm like, then it's got to be the Hamilton Max. And he comes in singing another song. And
that was the best part. Like, it was like slight confusion on my part. I was like, wait, so there's multiple Maxes? And you were like, well, no, but there could be. And then we just went with it. It was so amazing.
And I'm pretty positive it was John that said and then apocalyptic Max needs to come in. It's like, yes, it's all Maxes then. It's like, because apparently he's in this world too still.
Yeah. Well, this is a great showing of the special effects. So do you show the three different shots? Because we shot this in three different shots. So actually down below you can see, so we have the left pair, we have Emily, Hannah, and Max. And then the next trio, excuse me, not pair, is Andrew, myself, and Max number two, Max, villain Max.
Yep.
And then the next three, which is very close, is Jeff, Max Hamilton, and John. But those are all shot in three different pairs that hopefully didn't ever occlude each other, so you could just slice down the scene.
Yeah, and I'm
pretty positive. Oh,
yeah,
you want to talk about it? Go ahead. Yeah, that was made it really, really easy. You can clearly see the scenes if you kind of draw a line down from where Luke is sitting on the ladder, and then you draw a line between Santa Burglar Max and the post-apocalyptic Jeff. There you are, and then you just feather that a little bit, and pre-planning made that shot so easy to do in the VFX.
And I think we made what's his face? We made Luke be in both shot, the left shot and the center shot.
Yep.
Oh yeah, because we're like, oh, he's overlapping both, so just don't move, Luke.
Don't move a muscle.
And he didn't. And actually, I was very impressed because this entire shot was done inside of Resolve. With just infusion with some masks. I thought Andrew had masked me around Santa Burglar Max.
Oh yeah.
Because we get so close that I'm like, there's no way that's just like a garbage mat. Like that has to be a mask. But he moved in just a way that we did not overlap, but we're so close that you looking at that moment, you're like, there's two Maxes there. Like there has to be like, that doesn't even look like a visual effect shot to me. And I know how we did it.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree.
I just really like to also shout out to Rich, who's doing the audio in this scene. And that's why I used this take of Max, is because I just like that Rich is just right there in the middle of the shot, but because we knew we were going to cut it out, it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's so great. It's so fun, too, with Rich. He's so great. He'll get set up, and we're like, all right. He's like, what are you seeing? I'm like, everything. But luckily for that, we were cutting it out. So yep. The color and stuff is so good here. Everyone walks out.
Sad so Max sad. Is sad.
Hmm. Well, oh yeah, our stand-ins. So yeah, since Apocalyptics Max interacted with Scott, King of the Skulls, we stood in, Andrew and I, so that we could still get kind of the placing and feeling and timing for, yep. for Max to interact with his other selves.
And this is just a traditional backflip moment where we use Scott is generally in one moment early on for a gag, just a ridiculous gag, and then yeah. have him come in at the end and basically be like, well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you have a good time with your family. Bye. Yeah,
to have that sweet message. And pause it here real quick. So that bucket actually had green fire for about 5 minutes at the beginning of our shoot day on the first day of 2 days. And then it went out and we're like, dang it. We really like that, but we don't know if we can put more green fire on top of it and to do other stuff. You know, it was just difficult to figure out because that was a Hannah and her boyfriend, John. John, I think, knew how to make green fire. And so we had the components for it. But with everything going on, we're like, we don't want to try to mess around more with this. So we ended up having to bail. But there was green fire in there that no one ever gets to see.
It was discussed while we were filming that, again, if we had more time, it could have been a VFX shot. We could have put like just a little bit of it, like a little bit of green fire coming out of the top. And it's the barrel between Apocalypse Max and Burglar Max, or between Max and Ryan, if you're looking in the upper right corner. But yeah, we had debated about doing it. But you know, again, it was one of those visual effects. It's like, we don't have the time to do it, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, and on set there would have to be a little bit of a practical component to it, I feel.
This idea is so dumb.
This is this fingers. We're here anyway.
This idea came out of that review meeting between Ryan, John, and I. And I'm pretty, I don't remember if it was you or John that came up with this idea that it's like, well, I think it was you, Ryan. That was like, as like after credit scene, you do the credits, come back, and they're just standing there and they're like, what would happen if we touched fingers? And they all just kind of start to lean in and start touching each other's fingers, but we'd like cut to black or we do something. And it kind of just got grouped into the actual end of the video.
Yeah. So. I thought we had to do like an Avengers after credit thing, you know, because of the whole thing. And there might have been there was a joke in the your describing of time travel. I can't remember specifically. I think it's from Back to the Future, but not encountering or touching your old self or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, that just made so much sense to do a gag like this. And I think it works perfectly as like the end of the piece.
Right.
As opposed to the post credits.
And this was a tiny, obviously it was a tiny little VFX shot because we filmed Max three different times in his three different costumes, slowly leaning in. And as much as he tried to get his finger all three times to line up with himself, he didn't.
Oh, no.
So, and also, obviously, I had to cut out. So if you look at his hand in the final shot compared to his hand in the raw, you see that he's overlapping you. So his hand and then Hamilton Max's hand are both cut out of the backgrounds so they can overlap Burglar Max.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all, I added a puppet warp to them because Apocalypse Max was too low and Hamilton Max was too high. So they were all kind of coming in.
Shut the front door.
So there's a puppet warp that slowly, as it moves in, slowly brings them all together just ever so slightly.
Wow.
So they're all in line. And then Andrew, after I did the effect, we're like, well, there's gotta be like something that's happening. Like you see something. So he added in this like little globe effect.
This was like 30 minutes before we were supposed to submit the video.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of like that lens distortion happening there, lens reflection.
Yeah, we just wanted something, because it's like, it's almost too anticlimactic that they're just leaning in and nothing happens. Like, so having that just like little like, and we cut to the credits, added just a fun little like, what actually happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Christopher Nolan Inception.
Yeah.
The end?
Yeah, and I think the question mark was John's idea, just being like, we don't know. This could lead into a sequel somewhere down the line. It doesn't have to be a Christmas video, but
yeah,
like, what happens to Max? What does that do? Does that cause like that timeline to become our timeline? Like, do they all end up in?
I mean, maybe it takes them into a whole different universe where there's a Rube Goldberg machine.
Exactly. There you go. So connecting into next Christmas's video.
Exactly.
I mean, basically this year's Christmas video connected the last 6 years with the Christmas video. So now this is the end game,
right,
of the MCU phase one or whatever.
Yep.
And now we're just moving on to a new era of storytelling.
Phase two
was just a tiny little bridge to get us into it. And then it's all brand new stuff after this.
That's right. We'll call it Bell and Kristoff Vision or whatever.
Perfect.
Kristoff Vision.
It's the BCU.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like that a lot. And Max will forever be a part of it.
I'll just keep roping him into stuff. That's the thing, is I wrote the script with Max in it, and I'll just, like, I wrote the script with Phil doing the voice as Phil before even asking anybody. I'm just like, no, they'll do this, right? They'll totally come back.
And we got good friends.
Yeah. And Phil was the only one I honestly wasn't sure of, but Max, I'm just like, so, I'm pretty positive. I told him, like, so I wrote you into the Christmas video. You're in it a couple different times, and we're going to need new footage of you, so I hope you don't mind.
Yeah. So we do have an actual question as we're wrapping up here. So if you throw that up, I can talk about it. So, and usually we use OBS, and it usually works really, really well. I can get a lot of different graphics in there and get different people in there in conjunction with Skype and other things. And for whatever reason, I think it might be maybe an OBS update, because I updated right before we went live this morning, which was never a good idea. It just started crunching. So my encoding time went really, really crazy, and it kept slowing down. And so people would have trouble on the earlier video with audio, like audio would disappear. And I think it was because I had their three video, my video, and I was sending them a copy of video, and I was also capturing the video to put into the feed. And I'm just on this MacBook Pro, which is pretty beefy, but it was having issues. I think the other issue was it was using a GPU encoder instead of a CPU encoder. And I had switched that because it was working a lot better last time, but I think there's just too much for the GPU, but the CPU could have handled it. So there was an issue there, and I was like, I'm going to restart. And I restarted, and my computer started updating because it's a piece of crap. And then so I ran over to Jeff's office, and we use Restream. That's what we're on now. That's like a streaming software. We use Restream to stream to all the different platforms. And they, over the last year, you know, over the last 9 months, came up with this studio that you can actually produce your videos in. And it's actually really, really robust right now. Like, we could actually change the background to our happy hour background. Jeff right now is playing DJ, which is fantastic. It's a little weird because I watch myself in this delay, so it's very difficult to do. I'll just look at the camera. But Jeff's playing DJ right now. He has an app. This is all being run in browsers. This is Restream Studio. He can show all of us. He could show me bigger. He could show one of them bigger. You can switch in to our, we can screen share, things like that. You can also upload content.
Whoa!
Yeah, there you go. You can see over on the right side of the frame here, you can see we got comments that Jeff just has to click on a comment and it comes up, hide show like that. He can hide show any of us there. And you can see down below the screen, there's those different views that we have. So there you go.
That's creepy.
Yeah. And this is, they've been developing this so fast, like the capabilities that we have now were not necessarily here a month ago. And then what we had a month ago was not here 2 months ago. So if you don't have a beefy computer for OBS or don't want the hassle of like OBS, Restream Studio is phenomenal. And especially when I'm doing really complicated stuff like this, we might just jump into Restream Studio anyway, because you know, you don't want a computer crashing when you have this happen, because when we actually are doing our live stream professional stuff, we have all this hardware. So it's all hardware video, and that stuff doesn't crash just because of the way it's built, and it's not in software. It doesn't run out of memory or CPU or anything. Software you can run into issues with. And then your other question, free, standard, or pro. There is a free version, I believe. It doesn't save your streams for long. I think you have a max of like 3 different destinations. And they may keep branding. So you may have Restream branding on there, but you can probably get Restream for something like 10, 15, 20 bucks a month or something. And it works. It works really, really well.
This is really schnazzy. Like, I love this.
Yeah, maybe next time we'll just have like Luke do it, and we can just sit here and participate and listen. Because honestly, for me, not clicking things, like, oh my gosh. So it's like 90% of my brain is back.
Can you change the color, Jeff?
Can I change the color?
Yeah. So in graphics, yeah, he can change the background stuff. I think we have a happy hour. Actually, go to graphics and look down at the bottom for background. There should be a happy hour in there.
Yeah. There you go. It's there.
Yeah.
It's back there.
Yeah, we have used this before. But yeah, so that's the joy of live stream. Anything else, guys, you want to talk about or pitch in 1 minute as we wrap up here?
I will just say that I enjoyed making this video. This was a great time. And that breakdown video, I don't know or if we might share that on social medias or whatnot. Or,
oh, yeah, let's do it.
We have a version of the video that is just the raw VFX, no VFX full screen, in case you wanted to see that as well. But otherwise, I thought that'd be a nice kind of simple thing. I was going to do a pop-up video, but I'm like, nah, don't have time. Yeah, that works well.
This works so well. Yeah, yeah. It's great.
Ditto. It was a lot of fun to work on. Really cool change of pace to work on a post-apocalyptic sci-fi video. Never thought I'd be doing that. So yeah, can't wait for the next, 5 years from now when we get to Marvel Cinematic Universe, phase 2 conclusion.
the BCU. Thank you very much.
Oh, my bad.
And what the heck is on the board behind you guys? There's a ship with an anchor and a fish.
It was just empty before, so I needed to draw something in like 4 minutes.
He had to just draw something in 4 minutes.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it.
Normally it's our progress board, but we haven't gotten back to like what we need to work on since we got back from the holidays. So yeah. Andrew drew a ship.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's on me.
All right. So that's it. If you do have more questions, please let us know down below. Look at that computer. So hot.
So hot. Oh, yeah, it is very What is happening? You're making everyone sick at home.
No, it's all right. We like it. It's like somebody holding a camera, you know, when you look on social.
It's like or every Michael Bay film.
And Aaron just realized that you guys are in the same room. Yep, that's the edit suite. And I'm right next door. Let's do it again.
Ready? Yeah,
maybe power.
We're touching.
Yep. Right through the wall. Oh, I actually felt that. All right. So thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week with another guest. There's a couple options. We're trying to nail down somebody who's available next week. But thank you for watching. There's probably a part 2 to this video down below, since we had those errors on the live stream earlier that we had to restart into Restream. So please do check that out. Let us know if you have any questions, and we will follow up and we will answer them. If you haven't watched our video yet, you can check it out anywhere on social or our YouTube channel. I think we also have letsbacklook.com/Christmas. Maybe. Probably should have looked that up beforehand before I said that. But yeah, if you look that up, that should probably come up, and you can get all the old videos as well. I think Jeff's looking there now.
Yes, that is currently up as a thing. And all of the old videos that we reference, except for the Troll Blade, but all the backflip ones are on here. That was not a dig. I was just stating that.
Yeah. Let's see if you can get a title up with that URL while I finish up here.
Oh, I see. A title. Okay.
Now you got it. Yeah. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you for sticking with it. Those people who jump back on, we will be next week. There's a huge library too. You should check out. And if you're not, you should definitely, there you go.
I did it.
You should definitely like, subscribe, follow, hit all the things. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We stream to Facebook and Instagram. You should check out our live stream yesterday where we prank Scott and who was it? Andrew was like, if we turn into like a prank channel, that'd be okay too. Oh, I'd be okay with that. So maybe we'll do some more of that. That's all we got. Jeff, after I say bye-bye, you can click the end.
If we're a prank channel,
turn your volume back on.
I'm going to turn my mic back on. We can change our company name to Jack Flip.
Jack Flip.
That's all I got to say.
Oh, my.
All right. With that,
and I thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye.